Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. That was weak. Let's try it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Y'all have to keep up with me. I got a lot more energy than I used to have. And so what used to work ain't going to work no more. You're going to have to keep up. Amen. Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. We are going to read verses 1 through 9. Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. You children, any of you ever heard the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man? How many adults know that song? Why don't we teach it to the children real quick? I've got it here. I can remember most of it, but there's a part of it that I was struggling with, so I pulled it up. Okay, I need help with this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Lord, he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. I didn't teach that to you kids growing up. I failed as a father. That's the only area I failed as a father. Okay, that's the Zacchaeus song. We all need to learn that. And when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was up in the sycamore tree, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods, remember he was a rich man, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want to play a song for you now. This I'm thankful to Tim for. I think this is one of the prison songs he brought home with him. And you can't get excited all the time about prison stuff, but this is one of them. And I'd like for you, as we get into this, sing along, okay? It's called, I Gotta Clean Up What I Messed Up. And by the way, this is the title to my sermon.
Thank you.
I think we need to start this video over again. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. Hard to sing along with something you don't know and you can't hear.
Well, I've got that all the way up. That's the here's main line. How do we get it to go through the amp again? Is there a way to do that?
I'll tell you what. Don't worry about the broadcast. Let's see.
We got it.
You. Appreciate everybody's patience on this.
Come on, let me get it. Start my life.
Isn't that a catchy song? I guarantee you that'll be with you for a few days. I hope the truth of this message will also. We see in that song some truth. There was one big major truth that was missing. We'll get to that in a minute. But for those of us who understand the gospel and understand the power of God working in us and through us, that wasn't missed on us. And it could very easily be something that we understand as part of the process. What is important here, and we see this in the life of Zacchaeus, is before we get to the starting our life all over again, and before we get to the cleaning up what we messed up, we have to come to the realization that I messed up. We have to understand that we failed. We broke things. We messed up. We made a mess of our lives. We made a mess of relationships. We made a mess of our finances. It wasn't anybody else's fault. It was me. And that's a huge place to have to come to. Nothing else works. There is no cleanup without the full realization that I messed up. Can anybody say amen? Taking ownership of sin and of its consequences is the first step. We have to stop blaming others. If my parents had done better, I wouldn't have this problem. I wouldn't be dealing with this. I get that from my dad. I get that from my mom. I get that from my upbringing. If we would have had more money growing up, I wouldn't be in this situation. I wouldn't lust after things and money and what money could get me if I would have had more growing up. Back to my parents again. If my spouse would have been more like she or he ought to have been, then we still would be together. If other Christians would have been more like Jesus, then I wouldn't have left church and spent all those years in the wilderness. If they would put me on another shift or let me work at my own pace or pay me what I'm really worth, then I'd put more effort into this job and maybe I could keep it. You will never get past your past until you take full ownership of your past mistakes. Admitting I messed up is the key to unlocking all the good that can come next. I messed up. My fault. My bad. Stop looking around for someone to blame. Look in the mirror. Look within. Now, some people are already starting to get a heavy thing come on them right now and starting to feel like, oh my goodness. Brothers and sisters, this is a message of hope. This is a message that things can be different. This is a message that things should be and can be and will be under the right circumstances different to me. I can rejoice in that. But look in the mirror, look within. Many people have such a drive to be right all the time. In every situation, in every disagreement, in every aspect of every relationship, that they fail to see when they themselves are wrong. Perhaps they're right in everything that they're saying, but they're wrong in their attitude and the way they go about expressing their rightness. Brothers and sisters, what freedom there is in letting go of the constant internal and external battle to be the perpetual winner. And what freedom there is in coming to the realization that my stubbornness, my shortcomings, my failures, my inadequacies have caused me to mess up my life and to put stress and undue stress upon others. Admitting that I was wrong, that I messed up, and taking ownership of my sins is the first step in getting to the place where things can be made right and getting the messes cleaned up. Listen to the words of this song by David Ingalls entitled, "It Was Me." Who was the undone sinner who caused a good friend to leave his own land where love abounds so free? Who was the man who couldn't take the blame of a life he's lived in sin so shamefully? Who was the guy who had to let another die for the crime he committed and so he could walk free? If you wonder what he looks like, take a good look at the guy you're looking at. He looks a lot like me. And the chorus goes, "It was me. It was me. I am the guilty one. It was me." The scars on his feet, in his side, on his head, the prints of the nails in his hands were put there by me. It was me. In our text today, in verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Zacchaeus was not just willing to admit that he was wrong and had sinned against God and against man, but he was willing to make restitution. He was willing to clean up what he messed up. The words restitution, if you're reading through the Bible in a year, most of us have plans that have taken us through the beginning of the Bible. In the early stages, we see many references towards restitution, restoration, to restore, to make right, and even the phrase to make it good. That those are the things that God was teaching His people. The concept of restitution or restoration or making things right was taught to God's people by God Himself. It was one of the things that He knew would help make our lives work better. You see, God is a God of restitution. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of making things good. He loves to make wrong things right. Our wrong things right. He doesn't have any. He hasn't messed up. But He's still involved in the process. He gets involved in my life and in your life. He specializes in restoring. Can anybody say amen to that? And all throughout His Word, He shows Himself to be the one who delights in making bad things good, wrong things right, and dead things live. Even when He was never the cause of any of that. Because He delights in these things, it should be in our new nature to also do them as well. If the blameless, sinless Son of God will make such great efforts to bring restoration to us, how much more should we desire to make restoration and restitution and make things right for those which we have hurt, those to which we have done wrong, situations to which we have affected our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and even just affected ourselves. to make restitution for that which we have done and that which we are responsible for. We must not see our desire to make restitution and our sincere effort towards it as a means of obtaining our salvation. This is what was missing in the song. But I was okay with it because the sentiment there was so powerful. And the truth that was proclaimed was powerful. But listen, we must not miss this point. Restitution, our desire for it, and our efforts towards it are not means of obtaining our salvation, but they are a product of our salvation. Making restitution does not save us. Only the blood of Jesus shed for our sins and our faith in Him produces true salvation. But a strong desire to make restitution, to make good the things that we made bad, shows that salvation indeed has come. Just very quickly, I want to go back to that first, to the last couple of verses of our text scripture. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. Jesus wasn't saying that his restitution brought the salvation. He was saying, I can see your salvation because I can see your heart. I can see your heart being expressed. I can see your desire. And I know that not only are you willing to do it, you are going to do it. You're going to follow through. And because I see that, I see that salvation has come to this house. We are not excited to have a chance to start all over again, correcting the past when we can, doing things right going forward, and giving all the glory to our wonderful Savior who has worked a miracle of His grace in our lives. We are excited that we're born again and saved. And from that standpoint of having the Spirit of Christ living within us, that we are excited about expressing His love and His power to a world that will not accept our sincerity if we continue with things that we leave undone between us. Amen? So we move on to the part where we understand it was me. It was me. I am the guilty one. It was me. I put strain on that relationship. I spent money where I shouldn't have spent it. I went into debt when I shouldn't have and I knew better. I stole that. I'm wrong. I've had a bad attitude. When we get to that point, because Jesus said, I have not come to save the found. I've come to save the lost. I've not come to heal those who aren't sick. I've come to heal the sick. He wasn't in any way saying that some of us are lost and some of us aren't. Some of us are diseased spiritually and some of us aren't. Jesus said, unless you recognize your problem, unless you recognize your sin, unless you have a heart to do something about it, I can't do anything for you. I didn't come for that. I came for those who have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, who have received it and are not fighting against it, but say, I am wrong. I am sinful. I am wretched. But from that standpoint, when we come to that place and we fully understand that and we realize we have this litany of things that we messed up and we did wrong and relationships that we've harmed and situations that we made bad and where we brought death instead of life, then we're in a situation where the power of God through His help and His forgiveness and His cleansing and His empowerment, we have the ability now to clean up what we messed up. This is the exciting part. Things don't have to stay the way they are. We don't have to stay the way... I don't have to stay the way I am. I can move on from here. I can get better. I can do things right. How many of you who feel the way I do want to do better? Praise God. Who doesn't? Maybe somebody who doesn't think they're doing anything wrong. Maybe somebody who thinks that, you know, it's everybody else's fault. If I lived in a perfect world, you'd spoil it. If you found the perfect church and you went to it, you'd spoil it. If you found the perfect relationship, the perfect wife, you'd spoil it. You got to understand that. You got to realize that. Without the grace of God at work in you and without a heart to do the right thing, and when you don't, go back and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I want to start over again. Without that, it's just mess up after mess up after mess up. And if you can't see it and you're too blind to it, believe me, everybody else can. But if we're at that place, when we understand that we're in relationship with Jesus and He's working through us and His Spirit is alive within us, then the things that we've messed up, we have this thing on the inside of us. If we haven't been taught to ignore it, then I got to clean this up. I made this mess. I got to clean it up. There's a joke around our house. Susan does so much to clean up after everybody all the time, and everybody now is basically me and some of Tim, but basically me. And I drop something, oh, I'm sorry. And she goes and gets the stuff and she cleans it up. And, you know, and I'm helping out more and more as we go. I'm getting better. The other day I asked her, I said, would you rather have me who's helping out a little bit or Brad Pitt who wouldn't help at all? It took her a while, but she answered. And I came out the winner. Please don't ever let her know that Brad Pitt can help out. She doesn't need to know that. But the joke around the house is, not that. The joke around the house is when she drops something and it goes everywhere, I say to her, well, I guess you're just going to have to clean that up. She cleans it up regardless. But to have that desire within us, you know, in life, in our life, in relationships, and the financial messes that we get ourselves into, and all the things, and the sin that we do, and the selfishness, and all that, we have to realize it's up to me to clean it up. Knowing that I truly messed up, instead of running away from the mess or pretending that it never happened, I face it head on with the strong desire to make things right. Knowing that without God's wisdom and strength, we are powerless to fix anything. And knowing that we are not without God's wisdom and strength. Without it, we can't do it. But knowing this, that we are not without it. If you're born again, you have God's wisdom. You have God's strength. You have God's grace. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And that doesn't just mean to climb a difficult tree that's hard to get up. Or do, you know, bake a cake without burning it. We can quote that scripture for those types of things, but how about quoting it for things that really matter to life? I can do all things. I can take the grace of God and apply it towards a relationship that I have messed up. I can take the grace of God and apply it towards my finances that are all messed up because I haven't been doing the right thing. It's a mess I made, and I got to clean it up. Our mess ups are manifested in many different ways. This is just some. I mean, the list is practically endless. But these are just some of the things that are manifested through our mess-ups, or a manifestation of our mess-ups. Anger, being angry with people, acting in a loveless manner, being selfish, self-centered. Someone said to a man one time, he said, "You think the universe revolves around you." He said, "My universe does." And that's how many people live their lives. Everything revolves around them. What makes them happy? What pleases them? What's best for them? Unforgiveness. Being hard to get along with. Exercising and showing open rebellion, or even inward rebellion towards authority. Stubbornness. Bad attitudes. Disrespectfulness. Being disrespectful to those who you should honor. These are all under the category of works of the flesh. This isn't the Spirit of God leading you. This isn't the Spirit of God empowering you. These are works of the flesh, which, when we allow to be manifested through us, have effects. They have effects on us. They have effects on others. And when we realize we've stepped over into the flesh, and when we have done things that have an effect on our relationship with God, on our relationship with others, on ourselves, then we need to do something about it. It's a mess that needs to be cleaned up. Our mess-ups are manifested not only in these many multitude of ways, but they are manifested in direction. Sometimes our mess-ups are manifested towards our rebellion and our attitude towards God and our stubbornness towards Him. Sometimes it's manifested in how it affects us and what happens within us and what we allow ourselves to participate in that we know is wrong, but nobody else knows. It's just us. And then others. How our actions affect others. But as we said, we're not making restitution in order to gain salvation. We are doing so because we are born again from above. We have a new nature. We are the one. We are one with Christ. We are not correcting our mistakes in our own strength, but in His. We are not alone. We have salvation. We have the nature of Christ within us. We have the Holy Ghost, the one who the Scripture said is our paraclete, the one who's called alongside to help. In us, within us, Jesus can fix. Oh, one thing I left out as a manifestation of mess-ups, how mess-ups are manifested. How about dumb decisions? You know, some things that people do confound even the ungodly. Even the ungodly can't. Why did he do that? You can't keep a job doing that. Even an ungodly person knows that. You can't keep out of financial trouble doing that. You can't keep out of jail doing that. You ever heard the phrase, "You can't fix stupid"? You know, some things people do are just plain stupid. Let's admit it. Let's don't be politically correct and try to be nice to everybody. Hey, that was dumb. That was in fact, that's the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard of or seen. How do you think you're going to win in life doing dumb things? In us, Jesus can fix anger, lovelessness, selfishness, rebellion, a thorny disposition, stubbornness, bad attitudes, disrespectfulness, and Jesus can even fix stupid. Praise God for that. There's hope for people you know that are doing stupid things. All they need to do is have a right relationship with Jesus Christ and begin to learn His ways and begin to put the words in red as paramount in their lives. What did Jesus say? What does He expect of me? It doesn't take long. Jesus can begin to fix stupid. That's in us. Through us, Jesus can help fix those things that need fixing, heal those things which need healing, restore that which needs restoration, and make good that which was made bad. But that's going to take our participation in it. What we messed up, He is not going to clean up. He's going to clean us up and make us a vessel to clean up. You know, you can sit and pray all day long. Lord, brush my teeth. Lord, melt this fat off my body. There's certain things that we can believe God to do, but then there's other things that God says, I'm going to need your participation in this. Lord, I just made a mess of this relationship. I cannot believe what I said and how I said it. Lord, please make them forget that. Please take that all away. That prayer may not get answered, but I know one who will. I know one who will in that situation. Lord, please go with me now. Give me the strength to make right what I just made wrong. Help me, Lord God, to fix what I broke and to clean up what I messed up. We can, should, and must live our lives as those who recognize the eternal benefit of doing all we can to make our wrongs right. We cannot arbitrarily make decisions about which past sins need to be addressed based on our human emotions, our pride. Some things are present, some things are raw, some things are right now. Every one of those need to be made right. Every current mess, everything that's still dripping out of the cup onto the floor must be cleaned up. But there are things that have happened in our past that we may look at and think, that's so far back there, it doesn't matter anymore. Perhaps it doesn't, perhaps it's best to leave it alone, or perhaps the Spirit of God would say to us, that needs to be addressed. But we should not make our decision about those past sins based upon human emotions or pride. Some things that are deep in our past should maybe be left alone. And some things should be addressed. We must have God's wisdom to know what to do along with His help in doing it. You know, just because it was way in the past doesn't mean it shouldn't be addressed. I'm going to give you two quick stories of how God dealt with me concerning sins of my past. First of all, when I was a youngster, I went into a store, Ray's Pharmacy in Mansfield, which at that time was down near the one and only traffic light of crossroads of Main Street and Broad Street. Brian knows exactly where it is. Used to have a soda fountain in there, even when I was a kid. I used to have them make me a limeade. I'd save enough money and get a limeade, and they would squeeze the lime in it and put the syrup, and they would put the fizzy water in there, and I would have a really nice, strong, tasty limeade. And then I would take the limes out of the thing and I would re-squeeze them harder into the thing, put sugar in the thing and ask them to put fizzy water in there. Then I had the second best limeade. This one's for free. And then I would do it again. I would keep doing it until all I could taste was fizzy water. But it had one of those old soda fountains in there and a cafeteria, the style where you could get hamburgers and things and sit on a stool. Anyway, I went in there one time with a friend. I say he was a friend. He didn't act anything like a friend. He taught me how to steal. That's not a friend, children. Anybody who teaches you wrong and encourages you in the wrong thing is not a friend. Anybody who says, you want to take some of this drug with me? Is not a friend. Anybody who says, you want to get drunk with me? Is not a friend. Anybody who says, you want to know how to steal and get away with it? Is not a friend. So this acquaintance taught me how to steal things. I'm not even going to go into what he told me. I'm not putting anything in anybody's head. I just did wrong. I followed his example and I did wrong. Not only did I do wrong that day, but afterwards, I would go in by myself. And I found out how easy it was in an environment where people trusted you because they knew you, they knew your family. You come from good stock, they trust you, and they're not watching you like a hawk. So I began to steal. I stole toys. I stole candy. I did bad. Now, after I was born again, and Susan and I got married, and we came back to the United States, the first day I drove past Ray's Pharmacy, the Spirit of God said to me, you got to go into that store, and you got to confess what you did. And I don't know how much it cost, and I don't know how much the, but you need to go in there and make right what you did wrong. And they had the same management, an older guy now. I can't remember names or whatever, but I said, could I talk with you? May I speak with you, please, privately? He said, yes. So we went to a quiet place in the building, and I said, I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. My life has turned around. And I feel bad because the Lord has convicted me that when I used to come in here as a child, I would steal from this store. And I said, I know it was wrong. I knew it was wrong at the time, but I did it anyway, and I'm so sorry. Here I am, a grown adult. That's what I did as a child. Many people would say it doesn't matter, but the Spirit of God made it matter to me. I confessed, and I didn't receive a hug. I didn't receive a kiss on each cheek, a coupon for anything. In fact, I got a little bit of a angry look and a little bit of derision. You know, it's hard to keep a store going. I said, I know, I'm so sorry. What can I do to make it right? And in the end, he said, there's nothing you can do. I forgive you. Could have turned out all kinds of ways. He could have said, you owe me $500. You know what? I would have done my best to pay it. That's making restitution. It's making right what was wrong. There's one other story that I'd like to tell you very quickly, which unfortunately didn't turn out as well. When I was in the fifth grade, Mansfield didn't have a lot of black people in our elementary school. I wasn't ever around many black people. I didn't really know how to act. I had a lot of relatives, and this sounds like the blame game here. I had a lot of relatives that called African Americans by derogatory terms. Had nothing good to say about them. My mom was different. She wouldn't allow us. I had my mouth washed out with soap one time, a bar of soap on my tongue, leaning over the sink because I said a derogatory term. Repeating a joke that I thought was funny and could be repeated because I didn't mean it, I was just being funny. My mom washed my mouth out with soap. So I was taught two different things. One, it's okay, but by my closest relatives, it is not okay. But there's something on the inside. You know when you're doing right, and you know when you're doing wrong, especially when you've had some teaching. And in the fifth grade, I sat in a desk behind a African-American girl who was the biggest kid in the class. I don't know if she was held back a year or two or if she's just big. But she kind of intimidated me because of her size. But she was very meek and she was very mild. And she had no fight in her. And so I started trying things out on her behind her. I started saying things, ugly things. Started out not so ugly, but it became uglier and uglier. You stink. She didn't stink. I said so many ugly things about her looks. And everything, if I saw her face at all, there was always this kind of wry smile on her face. I don't know what she was thinking. You may think I stink, but you're stupid. I don't know what she was thinking, but I was. And I was so wrong. And I knew I was wrong. At some point, I quit. I gave up. And I don't know what happened. I lost contact with her. But I can't tell you how many times that offense, whether it ever truly offended her or whether she would remember it today, it was an offense against myself and against my God. And I would love to find, I don't even know her name. I would love to somehow bump into her one day and be able to say to her, I am so sorry for every egregious thing I've ever done and said. It was done in stupidity. I really didn't have that hate in my heart. It wasn't coming from a bad place. It was coming from a place of stupidity and just trying things as a dumb kid. I can't blame it on my other relatives. My mom taught me better. I knew better. I knew internally it was wrong. I violated that. Maybe she's walking around with scars today because of it. Maybe she's just telling other people about this dumb white kid that sat behind her and how ignorant and unloving he was. It was me. I'm the guilty one. It was me. There are some things we possibly can't, even though if we had the opportunity, we would clean up what we messed up. But I know God knows my heart. I know He's forgiven me. I know He's cleansed me. I know I don't and have not lived like that since that time. But I did it then. It was wrong. And if I could clean that up, I would. Things in our past, we have to be open. Even things in long since gone past, we have to be open if the Spirit of God prompts us to swallow our pride and make restitution. This doesn't put you on a ghost chase. It doesn't put you on doing anything that God doesn't speak to your heart about. But what I'm saying is, if He does, don't use the excuse, it's in the past, it doesn't matter. Perhaps it's gone, perhaps it's buried, perhaps it's better left alone, but perhaps it needs to be addressed. We just need to be open to that. I want to encourage you, those of you who know the Lord Jesus, those of you who are committed to Him, those of you who are lean upon His grace, those of you who know His power in other areas, look to Him for His strength to humble yourself and make restitution for anything where you have caused injury, hurt, frustration, anxiety in others. Let this be a day where you're starting all over again, where you're letting the slate be completely wiped clean, where you're not going to allow things to continue, where you're not going to allow anything that stands in the way of you doing the right thing before God, of you getting things fixed in your own life, of you in your relationship with others. Let this be the day you start all over again. Let this be the day that you sign up, "I will restore. I'll let God use me in this process of not only me, myself being fixed, but situations being fixed and relationships being fixed." We spoke today about how we cannot effectively make restitution when we are living outside of the grace of God. If you're here today and you're not in right relationship with God, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, if you haven't submitted to Him, if He hasn't come in and filled you with His Holy Spirit, your first step towards doing the right thing and starting your life all over again is to surrender to God and His plan for your life. To receive Jesus, His love and forgiveness and cleansing. Today, you can become a child of God. You can enjoy the benefits of being in His family. And you can have the strength to start cleaning up what you've messed up. Going back to the song by David Ingalls, "It Was Me," there's another part of the song. It says, "What kind of fool would turn a deal down when the price is paid? The interest rate is free. One paid it all. And if all means all, then the call is to all. Then one of all is me. I believe He died, ascended on high, where He makes intercession and pleads continually. For the man who said yes when the Spirit said come, who still makes mistakes, but prays when he does, and walks on righteously." Today you can allow Jesus to live His life in you and through you. You can then, with His help, start cleaning up what you messed up. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You. I thank You for this word. I thank You for the truth of it. Lord, I pray that every aspect, every point, would be driven home by Your Holy Spirit, and that we would not, whether we're born again and have issues that we've left unresolved and need to be fixed and messes that need to be cleaned up, or whether, Lord God, our life is a mess, and we need to be born again. Wherever we are today in relationship with You, wherever we are in the process of being involved in cleaning up that which we messed up, Lord, I ask that You speak to every heart. I ask that You do a work, that this is not a hear it and go away and forget it, but Lord, that You would truly speak to us about what we need to do in response to this message. I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're going to close, but before we do, is there anybody here today that says, not only are things in my life messed up, but my life is messed up. I'm not walking with Jesus. I'm not surrendered to Him. But today, I want to be. Today, I hear His call. I hear His call to all, and all is me. If that's you today and you want to respond to the Lord, I want you to come up. Get out of your seat and come up. We want to pray with you. We want to see God gloriously save you. Is there anybody here? We're not going to take this. We're not going to sing Just As I Am 100 times. But if God is speaking to your heart and you know that's you, then respond now. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask that You continue. Don't leave us alone, Lord. Don't leave us in our sin. Don't leave us in our life of sin. Don't leave us in these little small things that need to be corrected, sins. Help us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray for every person, not only in this room, but under the sound of my voice. Continue, I pray, Lord God, to be merciful. Continue, Lord God, to show Your kindness. Continue to provide unto us the breath of life that we continue to breathe so that we have the opportunity to know You and to serve You and to be obedient to every word that proceeds out of Your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.